The Georgia Department of Education released the Georgia Milestones test scores earlier this week. This is only the second year that the tests have been given. There were still some issues. Here to talk about them is Maureen Downey. She writes the Get Schooled blog for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Maureen, it's always a pleasure.
Good morning.
So, first of all, what are the differences that we see from this year's test results from last year?
Well, we only really saw slight increases this year. So I don't think we can necessarily draw too much from that, because there's simply the very natural occurrence that the teachers are more familiar with the test. It's a new test, second year of it, and it also had open-ended questions. So students last year in Georgia were confronting a standardized state exam they had never seen before, because we had done multiple choice. So, you know, I don't think we can draw too much from this the second year of the test. I mean, I think if there is one point of concern, and that is the lower performance of younger kids, the third and fourth graders. And that's something that I think the state has to explore, because teachers have been saying the content and the tests are really over the heads of those kids. They are, the material's too sophisticated. So I think there is some concern, and there does need to be some follow-up on behalf of the state on the lower grades.
Remind us where the Georgia Milestones test comes from. In other words, this test was designed to get results from throughout the state, but it was also designed to sort of clear up problems that had been that the schools had experienced with earlier tests.
Well, the earlier tests we had were simply multiple choice tests. They weren't considered very rigorous. That was the CRCT, and that acronym has now been retired. And now we have the Georgia Milestones, which hasn't yielded itself to an acronym yet. But anyway, we wanted a tougher test. We wanted a test that, you know, went to this all important critical thinking skill issue, and so that's why they went to a test that has open-ended questions. But we were going to be part, you know, this goes back to history, we were going to be part of a consortium of states, and we were all going to pool our resources and create a set of great tests using the best expertise, the best research. And the problem is that best came at a higher price tag than Georgia was willing to pay. So we pulled out of the consortium and we created our own test. And there is a big picture question yet to be answered. Are these tests any good? And do these tests actually tell parents anything? You know, we all assume that when a kid sits down for a test, the test reflects what they learned in class. But what parents have to remember is these tests are not created by the classroom teachers. They're created at the state level, and teachers do have input. But you never really know, frankly, whether or not your kid didn't learn the material, whether your kid wasn't taught the material. I mean, I think that that's a big question when you have exams created outside of the classroom setting.
Are these tests really designed to tell the parents something, or are they there to tell the state something?
Well, they are allegedly there to tell the parents something, although, frankly, you know, I don't think parents necessarily consult those tests. And, you know, the results come out in the summer. So they're also designed to have a second purpose, and that is to tell the state how the schools are performing, and that is to feed into a very clumsy acronym, the College and Career Ready Performance Index, or CCRPI, and that is now the new way that schools in Georgia are rated. So these tests have a great import to the standing of the school, because it is, you know, a key factor in how Georgia rates its schools.
And what are the effects should a school fail those markings or come below where they're supposed to, according to the state?
Well, there's all sorts of tiers of intervention, but of course the big thing now, the big danger or threat to the schools from their perspective would be state takeover. And that brings us to the Opportunity School District, which is Governor Deal's idea. Voters will actually have to decide whether or not he can do it, because allowing the state to come in and take control of a school, take it over, that's not allowed right now in our Constitution. So in November, Georgia voters will decide whether or not to agree with Governor Deal that the state should be able to kind of swoop in and take over. And those takeover schools, the ones on the list, are really there because of low performance on these state exams. And that includes largely schools in Atlanta, DeKalb, and a couple in Clayton. And I think that's where we're going to see the state takeover effort, if in fact voters give the state that power.
Is it only the results of the milestone tests that determine, let's say that the legislation passes, that the opportunity school districts are implemented, is it only the milestone test that determines whether the state will come in and take over a local school or not?
Well, The College and Career Ready Performance Index is sort of a complicated animal that many factors looks at many factors, but essentially it is academic performance and student growth, and that is being determined in the state of Georgia by test scores. So I would say the test scores are the dominant controlling factor in whether or not a school is eligible and will, in fact, be taken over by the state of Georgia.
So we would love to hear from those of you out there listening, whether you be a teacher, a student, or a parent. Do you think the milestone tests and tests like them are a good way to measure student performance? Did your child have any issues when they took the test? You can tweet us at OST Talk or join the conversation that's happening on Facebook. My guest is Maureen Downey. She writes the AJC's Get School Blogged. So, Maureen, let's go back to the results of these tests. Now, granted, 2 years' worth of results is no way to figure out a trend. But the state is sort of touting these results as improvement. Is that fair?
You know, again, I think it's factual. There's been a slight improvement overall. I'm looking at the English language arts now, for example, for statewide. And, you know, you see slight improvement over last year. I mean, I think if you all, you know, the state has a very nice bar graph that will show you improvement and how many of our students are at the very top level, which is called distinguished learners. You know, when we still only have 7% of our ninth graders in literature, 11% of our kids who take American Lit, we only have, 6% of our fifth graders at distinguished. And that's a high bar. Distinguished is high. Proficiency and distinguished are the two highest. But, you know, I do think that we still have not enough Georgia students performing at the highest levels, and that's always been the case in Georgia. We need to get the kids not just at proficiency level, but better than proficiency level. So, you know, when you look at this, you will see we do have more kids scoring at proficient, except again in the lower grades, where we have, I think, some concerns of what's happening there. You know, I would not, break out the champagne over these results, quite frankly.
And you mentioned that some people say that lower grades did not do well because the material may have gone over their head. How is that debate going? Could we see changes in the milestones test because the results we've seen from the younger kids?
Well, you know, I do think that Superintendent Woods, the person who leads the Department of Education now, I think he's open to teacher response. So I think they will look at this issue. I think that the idea of what kids are capable of in lower grades, you know, there's a lot of debate about that. People who think we have pushed kids too much, and there's people who think that we're not pushing them enough.
Okay, so the milestone test stays, correct? It just gets tweaked. It's not going anywhere.
No, it's not. This is our test. This is our state exam. We are, for better or worse, stuck with it.
And we have to, the voters themselves, I say we because we're all voters, will decide whether or not this test then has implications for control of local schools.
Yes, and the bigger question is whether or not we think the state can come in and do a better job than the locals, and that is particularly targeting, I would say again, Atlanta and DeKalb schools, whether or not the state can do a better job bringing those low-performing schools. And certainly, you know, Atlanta had two schools, two elementaries with zero proficiency in English language.
Wait, what does that mean? How can you have zero proficiency?
Well, what we mean by that is that they had no schools where their students were at proficient. So there's, you know, four categories: beginning, developer, proficient, and distinguished. And proficient is sort of what we're calling passing, to put it in the vernacular. I think it was Fane Elementary and Thomasville Heights. Neither of those schools had any kids who went beyond beginner or developing. So that is an issue in third grade English. And of course, Dr. Kristoffen, the superintendent, has already taken some steps. Thomasville will be taken over. That is going to be a school that she's handed over to the group that actually is behind Drew Charter to bring in new innovation to sort of remake that school. So I think she understands that, these superintendents know their troubled school. It's a question of if they're doing enough. And, you know, Thomasville Heights, they're remaking that school from the ground up as a result of low performance.
So what do you, somebody who follows this news, who has followed the milestones test since its implication, during its design, what do you take away from this, and what were there any surprises for you?
I would not say there are any surprises, again, because the second year only saw incremental increase, and that simply is the natural process with new tests. You know, I do think that I do have questions about validity of this test. I would feel a lot better if the state of Georgia could come out with convincingly strong outside evaluation of this test and reassure all of us this test is a good test. This test is telling us something about what's happening in the classroom. And in fact, the word alignment, is your kid learning what's being tested? And I think that's an important question for parents to ask. Most of us who have older kids have kids come home at least once, you know, a year and say, nothing I had in class was on that AP test. I mean, that happens. And it's sometimes simply that there was a different focus or the test itself, when it's made by an outside of company and not the teacher, simply went for things that class never got to or never got to deeply. So I do think it's important that the state can tell parents this test is really an accurate reflection of what your child knows or doesn't know. And I'm not sure the state of Georgia can tell us that yet.
And we also can't answer whether or not teachers will have to teach to the test. Is that correct?
Teachers have to teach to the test. And that's only a problem if it's a lousy test. So, you know, I think teachers have always taught to the test, but it was their own test. I mean, what's happened now is we've given a lot of weight to non-teacher-created tests because the argument is the teachers weren't creating strong enough tests. They were, you know, grade inflation, all that stuff, you know, which is interesting because it remains true that at least in college performance, high school grade point average is the best indicator of your child's ability to do well in college.
Yeah.
Even more so, the SAT, you know, has that first year predictability, but overall, it's grade point average. So even though we complain about grade inflation and that high school grades mean nothing, the research doesn't really bear that out.
Yeah. That's Maureen Downey. She writes the AJC's Get Schooled blog. Maureen, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me and have a good weekend, everybody.
This is On Second Thought.